afternoon. It's wonderful to see so many of you out here. I have a son serving in Iraq right now, serving time, or doing time is the way I like to describe it. He's been there since February, and he won't be back until at least January or February of next year. On May 1st, in a carefully orchestrated photo opportunity, George Bush declared an end to the major combat in Iraq. He declared mission accomplished. I'm here to say that this war is in no way over. Almost every single day since that time, there have been injuries to and deaths of our loved ones, many of whom had no desire to be involved in this war. I am certain that almost every single day, Iraqi civilians are also injured and killed, although we'll never know how many because they're not tallied and reported. Those who serve in the military have been considered disposable goods from the very beginning by the political extremists in Washington, who, instead of focusing on the real causes of terrorism after September 11th, chose a simpler target, Iraq. And instead of working with the rest of the world and exercising diplomacy, those same extremists in Washington chose to go it alone, seeking a my way or the highway attitude and approach. They manipulated information and the emotions of our citizenry to justify their actions. Our congressional and Senate representatives abdicated their responsibility to declare war by relinquishing their authority to these political extremists who neither planned adequately for the war, nor for the reconstruction of the country of Iraq, nor for the safe withdrawal of our troops. We've seen many, many examples of this, from the lack of appropriate equipment to protect our loved ones to the chaos that ensued in attempting to establish a new administration in Iraq. I want to share a personal story, a personal example of how this planning affected my son and the men he is responsible for. Last spring, their mission was to protect the supply convoy as it moved northward from the Kuwaiti border to Baghdad. We've all heard the stories about the lack of water and supplies. These young men were forced to drink from polluted creek beds, resulting in extreme dysentery and weight loss. When I first heard from my son about this, he told me that he and his men had each lost somewhere between 15 and 25 pounds apiece. He was angry as he described trying to lead his men, and he said, "You cannot imagine how demoralizing it is to try and do a job day in and day out covered in your own filth with nowhere to go to clean up." It was late in May when we spoke, and I heard about this, and they still did not have adequate drinking water, although they had been in Baghdad for 3 weeks. The temperature was reaching triple digits, and they were lucky to receive 8 ounces of water per person per day. How was it that we are able to ship hundreds of thousands of tons of equipment and weapons to destroy a country, yet we cannot get enough safe drinking water for those of our citizenry who are putting their lives on the line through no choice of their own? I contacted Senator Feinstein in the hopes that she would look into this and do something about it. I sent an email. It was a month before I heard anything from her office. And what I received was a pat email response that thanked me for inquiring about the weapons of mass destruction and suggesting that I contact her in the future if I had other concerns or questions. I was outraged. She never addressed the issue. I'm left wondering about the long-term health consequences for these young men and women who've had to drink that water, the effects on them, the effects on their unborn children. George Bush continues to treat our loved ones with complete disregard. The most blatant example, as you've heard many times today, was his challenge to the Iraqi resistors to bring them on. While he was securely ensconced in a White House briefing room, yet simultaneously working to cut combat pay and benefits for veterans. Most recently, Paul Bremer referred to our loved ones as bumps in the road, just another nuisance to be dealt with. Believe me, Our loved ones have no desire to be bumps in the pavement that's being laid by the likes of companies such as Halliburton and Bechtel. They want to come home now. Moreover, the Iraqi people want their country and their lives back. The longer this war drags on, the greater the psychological and emotional toll it takes, leading to greater tension on all sides and increasing the potential for more civilian and military casualties and deaths. It is time to bring our troops home, and I want this as much as anybody sitting out here today. However, because the United States caused the complete destruction of a country, we cannot arbitrarily withdraw our troops, leaving the country to implode. We have a moral imperative to participate in its reconstruction, but this must be done in collaboration with the United Nations and its members, and not with our troops. The arrogant posturing of the political extremists in Washington must cease. Sincere negotiations that are in the best interest of the people of Iraq must begin. Only when the United States is willing to relinquish sole control of the rebuilding efforts will other countries commit to providing resources and will our loved ones be able to come home safely. My son has told me more than once that those who join the military give up many of their rights, particularly the right to the freedom of speech, in order to protect ours. In honor of him and all of those who have given up their rights and have given up their lives, I am urging you today to exercise yours. This rally is merely one step in the process that we need to take in keeping this issue alive and forcing the nation to address it responsibly. Get involved. Speak out whenever and wherever you can. But most importantly, do not judge our troops. Do not turn against them. But instead, hold our elected representatives accountable for their actions. Vote. Thank you.